I am very excited today because we're getting into all types of trucking related content, which means a lot for me. Usually I'm covering technology, but if not that, then talking with truck drivers themselves. And I'm very excited today because I'm talking with one of my favorite, I'd say, influencers kind of in this space. We'll get into it. But of course, we've got an owner operator turned consultant turned radio host who now has his own site as well, letstruck.com. With us today is Kevin Rutherford. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, great to be here. It's exciting.
Yeah. And honestly, I just want to say it's very exciting for me because when I started my career, I used to listen to your show quite frequently. And to like be sitting here now today, what, almost like 15 years later and like talking with you one on one, it's like it's a full circle kind of event for me, too. So thank you for all the advice and the lessons I've learned from you in my past career, too. So big thank you for that. Yes. Oh, that's awesome. And well, that's the great thing about this is we're going to be able to actually share some of this knowledge I've gained from you to our audience today as well. Let's start off with a quick introduction for anyone who doesn't know who Kevin is. Kevin, tell us a little bit about your career in trucking and what it's brought you today at Let's Truck.
Okay, 40 years takes a little while, so I'll give the Reader's Digest version. Third generation owner-operator. My grandfather actually contracted to a moving company when the seat in the truck was a wooden bench. That's not an exaggeration. And we would measure a trip from the East Coast to the West Coast in weeks, not days or hours. No interstates, no truck stops. I don't even know how they did it. My father started driving a milk truck at 14, obviously with no license. It's all he ever did. But what I watched was he was a frustrated owner-operator. He wanted to own trucks, not because he wanted to own a business. He had a ninth grade education. He loved trucks and he loved working on them and driving them. So what I watched was a pattern of him take a union driving job that he hated and save enough money to buy an old junk truck. And just about the time he got it to where it was not an old junk truck, he was out of money, and he didn't know how to sustain that. He'd go back to being miserable again. And I thought, boy, I don't want to be in the trucking industry if this is what it's all about. But my dreams of becoming a helicopter pilot didn't pan out, and I knew trucks, so I bought my first truck at 22, and then I made every mistake you could possibly make, and I made them really fast, and I learned a lot. I went from one truck to two in about 8 months and from two to 11 in about 4 or 5 years, which is way too fast. I didn't know what I was doing. And what I learned was business was about the numbers. It wasn't about trucking. It wasn't about how good I could drive. It wasn't about how good I could back up. It was about the numbers. And if there's more money going out than there is coming in, you can't make it up in volume. So I just learned how to run one truck really profitably. I sold 9 of the 11 trucks, went back to school and became a certified financial planner and just really started digging into the numbers of trucking. And really everything I've done since then is continue to learn and share how to do that.
Well, and this is perfect for the conversation that we're having today because I really want to focus on the market that we've been experiencing over, what, the last year and a half, 2 years now going, I mean, we're already almost in a little bit into April by the time this airs too, we'll be at the end of this almost into May. And I'm interested, clearly it's a cyclical industry, right? It's not the first time that we've seen a soft market before, especially from what you've experienced. What are some of the key challenges that come to owner operators during these times in particular? And how have you navigated those challenges in the past?
This really will surprise a lot of people, but I've been consistent about this for a couple of decades now because I've been through these ups and downs. I love the soft market. I look forward to these and I encourage more people to start their business in this market than what we went through the 3 years prior, where honestly, you could make money with the truck with your eyes closed and half your brain tied behind your back, and that's a problem. And there was rates were good, no matter, you didn't have to worry about expenses. Those are the people that got in during that time are the first ones out now. They're struggling, their business model will not support this. And during those times when I was trying to help people, I'd say, look, this is not a good business practice. Oh, but it's working just fine. Look, I just bought a new pickup truck and I'm doing great. Yeah, I know, but you haven't seen what's coming. And we knew this one was going to be ugly. We have not had a soft market really since 08 or 09. We had a couple of years that were a little bit of a pullback, but nothing like we've been waiting for. And this one could get worse. But I like this market. I think if you can start your business at the bottom or reinvent your business at the bottom, then the top just becomes a bonus. And you won't worry about the next downturn. So I think this is the market that I really enjoy working in and helping people in, and then looking forward to when things get better again.
On that thought, you know, clearly, especially for those who may have entered, I mean, there's a lot of them, right, that did enter during that time period where, yeah, I love the way you said it, like quite literally could run a trucking company with their hands tied by their back. I can't tell you how many people reached out to me during that time of, hey, can you help me start this? And I'm like, God, no, I really don't want to, because you're not going to like it when it's done. When demand is as low as it is, how can these companies adjust some of their operations? What strategies would you recommend so that they can stay lightly profitable, you know, at least afford their very basic livings and keep that business sustained?
So best case scenario is if we could have prepared for it before it got here. And there's two things I don't hear enough of mentioned in this industry. One is bottom line profit. I hear a lot about top line gross rate. I don't haul for less than $4 a mile. And the broker offered me $3.80 and I laughed at him and hung up. I mean, I hear that kind of talk all the time. You know, the phrase that gross revenue is vanity and net profit is sanity and cash is king. That's kind of what I go by. And we don't talk about bottom line profit. When I mention expenses, sometimes the response is, oh, well, who cares what my fuel mileage is? I just get a better rate. Well, that works, you know, in the good times. Doesn't work so good now. But what can you do? You can go back to those things. The other word I almost never hear in the small carrier world is customer. How do we run a business without talking about customers? But nobody ever seems to. They act like they don't really have a customer that they care about or are trying to serve. So two things I would say, it's kind of a mindset shift. Somewhere out there, you've got a customer. If you're not sure who they are, whose check are you cashing? That's your customer. And when you serve them well, these downturns aren't nearly as bad. And then when you focus on bottom line profit, because we have much more control over our expenses than we do the rates, that's how you get through this.
Yeah, you and I are both on a lot of social media sites, and it's always interesting to me to see these influencers constantly talking about their $1 million trucking company. And I'm like, well, for someone that's like an outsider, that's, you're like, oh, wow, that could be, I could be a millionaire. No, they're not millionaires. They have $1 million trucking. There's quite a huge difference between that revenue and what's actually coming into their pockets at the end of the day. And I think that right there is some really great advice. And the customer side of it is honestly true as well. And, you know, I'm interested from your thoughts, especially in the owner-operator side. You know, I come from more of a brokerage background. So I think, is a customer for an owner-operator. I'm interested in how, from your expertise, like how does an owner-operator not only find the brokerages as customers and of course work with them in the best way they can, but is there opportunities for owner operators too to work with shippers directly?
There is, but that's like next level. And I think a good place to learn a lot of those skills that are going to be required are treating the broker like they are your customer, because they are. They're paying you for your service and they need you. The shipper doesn't necessarily. Most shippers would rather work with brokers than a bunch of individual carriers. So that's kind of like next level. So let's learn the skills we need at the brokerage level, and then I can help people move on and get their own direct freight sometimes. Here's kind of my model on this. Find 3 to 5 good brokers somewhere that control freight at your home point, where you're going to be most of the time. build a real relationship with them. And there's some easy ways to really set yourself apart in this industry. The bar's been set pretty low. Here's a big one. Go actually meet them. It's shocking how little that happens. The broker might be an hour and a half away and nobody ever bothers to go take them to lunch and get to know them or take them to dinner. And then I had another strategy. I always thought I was really bad at sales because I'm kind of an introvert. I don't like asking for things. I like giving more than asking. And I found that I struggled with sales and I had to come up with techniques that made it easy. Here was the easiest one. Take them to lunch. After we get through the pleasantries, we get to know each other a little bit. The first question I ask them, tell me about your worst load. It's probably a good customer, so you have to service this load. You can't really ignore it, but you just hate it. You know it's going to be a problem. Everybody that does it says, you know, I have to wait too long. This is never ready. Tell me about your worst load. And first off, they're shocked because everybody else always wants to know what their best freight is. So I'm asking for their worst load, and they'll explain it to me, and I'll say, you know what? If we're going to build a relationship, I'd like to take that load first. I'm a troubleshooter. I'm a problem solver, and I think I can make this better. And I haven't found a load or a situation that I can't make better if you focus on it. Now, how many people do you think would say no to that offer? I never have to hear no. I hate hearing no. That's why I don't like sales. When I found out you might have to hear 30 no's for every yes or 100 no's for every yes, I thought, well, this isn't for me. I'm crushed when somebody tells me no, or challenged, one of the two. So that just worked really well for me. Make that introduction and then ask for their problem load and see if we can make it better.
I love that advice. And, you know, I want to almost flip the question, because something that I think you and I agree on in regards to the topic is this. We won't get into this topic as much, but the thought of broker transparency. And I want to stay away from the argument back and forth on that, because I think you and I agree that really the underlining conversation of that question is the relationship aspect between the brokers that you're using, right? Like for me, transparency also means trust, and that a relationship is there if there's no transparency per se. So to flip the question for brokers that are watching this, I know they're going to have plenty of them watching this experience. How can they build better relationship with owner operators? How can they kind of extend themselves a little bit more to build a better relationship for when this market does flip?
You know what I would say, and we've built some tools to do this. We're bringing back a show we call Broker Connect, and I see that there's a group now running a broker carrier conference. I think that is awesome. We brought a brokerage into our CMC event when we were in Kansas City. And I think the way both groups do this is by talking away from the negotiation. But now it seems like the only time we talk to each other, you've got a load posted, I want it, you're not paying me enough. And that's contentious. It's always going to be. And my thought is, if you don't have a relationship, you're not negotiating, you're haggling. And it's always a win-lose negotiation. Somebody's, or lose-lose. We're both going to compromise in the middle, which that's not good for anybody. But if we build the relationship first, away from the money issue, because that's so contentious, now we can start to work on win-win negotiations that aren't always about price. Might be about servicing the customer better because we're cooperating more. And that's got to come from both sides. So the owner-operator wants to get his load and get on the road. The broker needs to move 15 or 20 or 30 more loads today because that's how they make their money. And we need to take the time away from that process and get to know each other.
Yeah, I think that's incredible advice. And I think, whenever I hear that discussion, I immediately am like, this is not a good partnership, right? Partnership doesn't need the transparency, I think, that people are looking for. And
because this has become a really big issue in the last couple of years, and this solves a lot of it, a lot of this freight fraud, broker fraud, disappears when we have relationships and we know each other. Without new technology, without new regulations, just better relationships makes it next to impossible to pull off some of these scams.
Amen. Back that up 100%. Kevin, to wrap this up, moving forward, as we hope to see this market turn, any advice that you give drivers going into that, or advice for them as to prepare for that market swing as well?
Yeah, and I think this is just good business and life advice. It's easy in a market like this to complain. We can always find things wrong, and I won't even argue with people. Freight fraud is a problem. New brokers that don't really understand the market well is a problem, and they don't understand the rates and new carriers. So there's a lot we could complain about. Rather than do that, I would say when you find yourself complaining, I want you to go look in a mirror. And the only complaint you should have is something you could control. Take responsibility and solve some of these problems yourself first before we blame it on somebody else or think the government's going to fix it.
Incredible insight as always, Kevin. For everyone out there, go, of course, check out letstruck.com. You can find him, of course. I was just watching you today on Twitter, too. So there's plenty of areas that you can get his content. And Kevin, thank you for joining us today and sharing this incredible insight too.
Well, thanks for having me. A great conversation. I love talking about this stuff.
For our audience, stay tuned for more coming your way as well.